From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network, Dr. Niran Murthy from the Georgia Institute of Technology is interviewed by Gen's editor-in-chief John Sterling about a new class of fluorescent dyes that may help researchers identify patients who are more likely to suffer from inflammatory diseases such as atherosclerosis and cancer.
Dr. Niran Murthy is principal investigator in the Laboratory for Biomaterials and Molecular Imaging and an assistant professor in the Wallace H. Coulter Department of Biomedical Engineering at Georgia Tech and Emory University. His research is focused on the development of novel materials for the delivery of biotherapeutics. Dr. Murthy, thanks for taking time to talk to us. You and your colleagues have reported the development of a new family of fluorescent probes called hydrocyanins. What is so special about these probes?
There's several unique aspects about the hydrocyanins that make them interesting. I guess the biggest one is that they can image reactive oxygen species in vivo in living animals. In particular, in this paper we published, it could do so in mice. And so imaging reactive oxygen species in vivo has been a big challenge because to be able to do in vivo imaging, you have to make a dye that can be excited at high wavelengths. And so it looks like these hydrocyanins are one of the first classes of dyes that are able to do this. There are a few other interesting properties about hydrocyanins. One is that they're extremely sensitive to reactive oxygen species, so they can detect nanomolar quantities of superoxide and the hydroxyl radical, and that appears to be significantly better than the standard dyes for reactive oxygen species. The other thing, and I'd say the third point about the hydrocyanins that makes them interesting, is that it's sort of from a synthetic aspect, which is that the cyanin dyes are a widely used class of dyes in chemistry and biology. And so the interesting thing was is that it turned out that this family of dyes that's used so extensively can be trivially converted into a sensor for reactive oxygen species by simply doing a one-step reduction. And kind of the significance of this is that there are about 40 different cyanin dyes that have different properties and different wavelengths, and every one of them appears to be convertible into a sensor for reactive oxygen species. So this one-step synthetic procedure essentially quadrupled the number of sensors for reactive oxygen species.
Can you say a little more about these 40 different dyes that you've created, specifically about how they differ from each other?
Yeah, the cyanin dyes are a family of about 40 different dyes. We've only made six hydrocyanins, so we've only converted six of the 40 into hydrocyanins. We think that we could do it with all 40. The six we made, they differed in two ways. One, they differed in terms of wavelength. So we can make hydrocyanins that emit at 400 nanometers, 500 nanometers, 600 nanometers, 700 nanometers, and 800 nanometers. And each of those wavelengths has a different application. So the high wavelengths are certainly useful for in vivo imaging. The lower wavelengths are very useful for cell culture and organ culture. And it turned out that even measuring reactive oxygen species in cell culture was very challenging. And it looks like the hydrocyanins are very, very useful for that too. So one thing that separates them is in terms of their emission wavelength. The other thing is their hydrophobic hydrophilic balance. So the other interesting thing about hydrocyanins is that they can be used. Certain hydrocyanins are very useful for intracellular imaging, so they can image reactive oxygen species produced inside of cells. But other hydrocyanins, which are very hydrophilic, are very useful for imaging extracellular reactive oxygen species.
Are there specific advantages inherent to the hydrocyanin dyes your group created versus those currently being used to image reactive oxygen species?
Yeah, the one thing that we think will be particularly useful is that the hydrocyanins appear to be very stable to autooxidation. So a very common problem with dyes such as DHE, which are commonly used for imaging reactive oxygen species, is that they'll spontaneously oxidize in water, and they'll even oxidize on storage. And we've compared the stability of hydrocyanins to autooxidation versus DHE, and the hydrocyanins are about 2 to 3 orders of magnitude more stable.
Would you please describe the types of experiments that took place to test the ability of the dyes to detect reactive oxygen species inside of cells and animals?
We did three separate experiments, and we did this experiment in collaboration with Bob Taylor and one of his postdocs named Sarah Knight. And so they did three experiments, and the first experiment they did was a cell culture experiment where they isolated smooth muscle cells from rat aortas. So they took these smooth muscle cells, and then they stimulated them with a peptide called angiotensin II. And what they saw was a dramatic increase in reactive oxygen species. So essentially the experiment was they took smooth muscle cells, incubated them with our dye, and then added angiotensin II, and as a control, they just took smooth muscle cells and incubated them with our dye and PBS. And there was about a twofold change based on fluorescent microscopy. Angiotensin II is a heavily studied molecule because it appears to be implicated in atherosclerosis, and in particular, it appears to cause increased reactive oxygen species in smooth muscle cells in vivo. So there was some physiologic and medical significance to this particular experiment. The second experiment they did was to check if these dyes could be used in organ cultures. So what they did was they took rats and injected them with either LPS or just saline, and then I think after about 4 hours they isolated the aortas of these rats, and it may have been mice actually, rats or mice, I'm forgetting which it actually was. They then took these aortas and incubated them with the hydrocyanins for about 10 minutes, and then afterwards they did histology, and they saw about a fivefold difference in reactive oxygen species or in red fluorescence between the aortas that had been stimulated with LPS versus the PBS control. LPS is a molecule that comes from bacteria that's a very pro-inflammatory molecule that activates several of the cells in the endothelium, in particular endothelial cells. And I guess the important thing about this experiment was that they could prove that the fluorescence they were seeing was coming from reactive oxygen species, because if they added a molecule called Tempol to these organ cultures, they could completely shut down the red fluorescence. And the third experiment they did was just to see if these hydrocyanins could image reactive oxygen species in vivo. So they used an LPS model of inflammation again here, where they take LPS and inject it into the peritoneal cavity of mice, and then 4 hours later they inject the hydrocyanins, and as a control they just injected PBS. And in these mice, which are living mice, they could see a twofold difference in fluorescence from the LPS versus the saline-treated mice.
What's your ultimate goal regarding the application of these novel hydrocyanins?
There's many, many applications of hydrocyanins, ranging from just cell culture reagents to diagnostics in terms of like a hospital screening setting, and then the ultimate one would be in vivo imaging of reactive oxygen species in humans. There are certainly certain cases, certain tissues and certain organs where you can do fluorescent imaging in humans, and reactive oxygen species seem to be overexpressed at the earliest stages of most diseases, so there's a tremendous potential as a diagnostic too.
Based on your published studies, what's the next phase of your research?
We're sort of branching off into three different areas. So one, we're exploring many other animal models, various other inflammatory diseases, cancer, and things like that, and just using these dyes to detect reactive oxygen species in those different diseases. And that's just using the same chemistry we developed in that Angivante paper. And then we're also making new probes based on the hydrocyanins, because the other interesting thing about the hydrocyanins is there's a lot of synthetic flexibility, and we're making new derivatives of hydrocyanins that can either measure reactive oxygen species in specific organelles or that can target certain tissues and things like that.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.genengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast, or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. New GenCasts are posted every week, Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghouse, saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.